Welcome back. We kick Jimmy B aside and welcome in our good friend Wolfgang as he joins us here today. Wolfgang, quite the weekend in sports. You were in Ames this weekend. Your Cleveland Cavaliers look very good. We ran out of time on Friday to talk about the Cavs trade. I know you were itching to talk about it. So you want to start there? You want to throw a little curveball here? Talk some NBA first?
Well, I don't want you to gag live on the air, but I mean, yeah, that would be cool. You want to go there? Can you handle a little bit of that talk? I mean, I think even non-NBA fans find that kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, you don't think so? Yeah. I know. I'm with you. The trade deadline was interesting, and if this was another team, I don't think it would be as interesting. But it's LeBron. People like talking about LeBron, and you got, you know, the people that are out there, the Skip Baylesses of the world that have made a living on ripping on him. But I think he is something that even in this market, that isn't a big NBA market, but it is maybe getting better and something that we're going to talk about, I think, more and more because, well, it's a down year in the state, in-state for basketball. I think it's going to probably jump in a little bit more. So let's get into it. Before we get to you gloating yesterday how good they looked, and boy, they did look good, let's start with the trade. I was a proponent of it. I liked what they did. You could tell they certainly needed something to just change it up. It wasn't working. So they go out there, they get younger, they get more athletic, they get better defensively. Your thoughts on the trade and helping out LeBron?
Okay, and I brought this up. You know, I like to first guess, not second guess. I like to be right, but if I'm wrong, which is funny, you brought up Skip Bayless, who will never admit when he's wrong.
Right.
Which is, I'm interested in your opinion on him real quick before I get to that, because you've been doing radio a long time.
Uh-huh.
You've been listening to radio for a long time. When you listen to that guy do his thing, I mean, do you just want to throw something at the TV, or maybe it doesn't matter as much to you, because he just goes with an opinion, and he sticks with it to where it's so absurd and so silly, and you just want. The only reason I watched it, I'm like, will he actually admit that he was wrong? Will he ever say, you know what, I had that one wrong? And he never does. What's your opinion on that, like, kind of TV / radio / because it's so trollish. It's almost, it makes me sad almost for him.
Yeah, it's just not my scene, not my shtick. You know, I've had many different bosses in this, and yeah, people have told me, you know, how to do things, how to massage things like that. It's just not my style. Maybe I will be sitting here in Des Moines, and hopefully I can do this here for a long, long time. I love this market. I love what we get to talk about here. I love what matters here, and it matters to me as a sports fan. I personally would find it difficult to come in every day with hot takes, come in with things that are just completely off the wall. Now, I come up with off the wall things from time to time, and that's okay. I mean, go back to the summer, Wolfgang. We were talking Iowa basketball. Remember that cockamamie idea I came up with where, hey, you know what? For a two-game stretch, you're going to sit out a couple of guys just for the rest of it because this team is so deep that they're going to be able to go away with that. That didn't exactly come to fruition. So I come up with stupid ideas too. But
that's not that stupid, Trent. Sorry. You think that's stupid? You haven't heard Skip. If you think that's stupid,
right,
man, you, good golly. That was not that stupid of a comment, because we've watched Alford over the years. You have to delegate minutes and all that stuff. And we did that in the summer. How do we do this? How do we, you know, delegate minutes and throw that out there? It's hard. And a lot of times, when guys would get hurt, the coaching would improve because guys got to play more minutes, get in more sync. I don't think that was stupid. I really don't. It was a little maybe confrontational, a little controversy, I guess I would say, but I don't think it was stupid, because you and I both agree playing too many guys can actually be maybe worse than playing not enough. It's weird. Basketball is weird, and like we said, we did a whole damn show on is basketball rocket science, and I think it maybe is. Let's get to the Cavs real quick. I was talking to some buddies of mine, but I brought this up again. I first guessed, not second guessed, with the whole LeBron thing, the Isaiah Thomas thing. Those of you that don't know who Isaiah Thomas was, he was on Boston Celtics last year. He's 5'9", wink, wink. I don't even think he's 5'9", Trent. He may be, but I doubt it. He's very short. So when they made that trade, Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas comes over to the Cavs, I'm just like, the puzzle pieces are not fitting here. And I'm like, why are they bringing him over? Because they want to re-sign him after LeBron's gone. They want people to fill the building. Because he is fun to watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've watched enough of him to know everybody roots for the underdog. Everybody roots for the 5'7 to 5'9 guy that's going up against these giants, these athletic freaks of the NBA. Who doesn't like that? I mean, I like that. I get why they would do that. But if you're trying to win a NBA championship this year with LeBron and the team they have, and you bring in Isaiah Thomas, 5'8", guy that can't play defense. And that was one of the Cavs' problems. That's one of Iowa's problems. They can't play defense, and you bring in a guy that is probably one of the worst defenders in the league. You don't do that. And that's why, Trent, I get angry and I get a little huffy and I get pissed off when coaches say, well, did you ever play the game? Did you ever coach? Like, we can't have an opinion. You can't have an opinion, Trent, because you never played in the NBA or you didn't coach or whatever. You're not allowed to have an opinion. Yes, I am, because I knew that trade was bogus the minute it happened. It was a joke. The NBA is a 3D league now. We've talked about that. And basketball is more and more becoming that way. Three-point shooters and defensive guys, 3D guys.
Mm-hmm.
The days of the 80s and 70s and even 90s, they're gone. Even 5 years ago, Trent, you look how different the game is. Watch how these guys now shoot three-pointers off the dribble.
Yeah.
It's not coming off screens, getting your feet planted anymore. It's like, you go at them, back step, crossover, boom, three-pointer. Like, I mean, it's crazy how much the game has changed in what? What would you say, 5 years? It's not even the same game anymore, Trent.
Right. I heard, I think it was Bill Simmons was talking about the All-NBA team, and he did it from like 2011 and then even 2014. And the names on there just... It's a different game, Wolfgang. You not.
What do you mean? I'm not getting what you're saying.
Well, I mean, you just look at the All-NBA teams and their names, that guys that you think, they wouldn't be able to survive at that level anymore. And I don't have the names offhand, but it shows you, and he was saying just how different the game is. You're exactly right. It is a completely different game. You have to play a different way, a different style. All right, let's get into it. Jordan Clarkson. Clarkson, guy from Missouri. He was on the team that lost to Norfolk State, I believe, as a 2 seed against a 15. Clarkson, solid, good. You like that one?
I do. They needed to get younger, and they got younger. Three of these guys are 25, I believe. And then Hill, who's the guy that will really help, that's what LeBron needs. A point guard that isn't really a point guard that can go over there and hit threes. And that's the guy they need, Hill. A guy that can hit threes. I believe he's one of the best three-point shooters this year in the NBA. Not sure what his career mark is, but that's what LeBron needs. Guys like that, and he can play D. He can play D, and they don't understand that over there at Cleveland for some reason. Whenever LeBron isn't around, and I understand people hate him, but he had to throw a baby fit this past month. He had to show them, do you want to win a championship or not? He quit playing, Trent.
Mm-hmm.
This is my guy. He had to do that in order for them to do something, bring in younger guys that are longer, that can play defense, and he's going to get killed for this the rest of his career. You know what? Who gives a bleep? Now they have at least a shot. At least a shot. We're looking at Golden State. You want to talk about the unbelievable way the basketball is played now? At least they have a shot, whether it's the Houston Rockets, whether it's, you know, it's Golden State or whatever, but now they have a shot. They didn't have a shot before. It was embarrassing, the lineup they had and the lack of defense they played, and I will agree with you. All of you that hate LeBron, you can sit there and bring this up the rest of his career. He basically didn't try for a month because he knew. He knew this lineup sucks. It has no chance. Do I even want to put more miles on my damn wheels and go to the NBA Finals and lose again because y'all hate me when I lose? Right? Even though we know his team is not better than Golden State, so we're going to criticize him for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's odd. It's very weird that we criticize LeBron. If he's going to make the NBA championship series this year, we're all going to kill him, right?
Yeah.
We're going to kill him when they lose. Well, we never killed Michael for not getting to the NBA Finals. When he couldn't beat Boston all those years, when he couldn't beat, Detroit all those years. So it's better that Michael Jordan did not make the finals than had he made it and lost. It's just weird to me.
No, it is. It's kind of moving the goalposts, if you will, when you're coming up with these arguments and the different guys and how you rate them. The LeBron MJ argument, it's a fun one because I don't
know.
But
they're different players, right?
They are.
Do we even have to, like, discuss that? It's like, it's apples and oranges. It's like discussing, like, who's the best quarterback of all time? Is it Tom Brady or John Elway, or is it, you know, Jim Brown?
Well, he was a running back, so
that's what I mean. That's what I think. That's what I think discussing LeBron and Michael are.
It's not that different. It's not the difference between a running back and a quarterback.
I don't mean it's that crazy, but it's close. It's like Magic Michael. You want a 6'9 point guard, or you want a 6'6 shooting guard that shoots all the time?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a fun argument. I love to have it. It's great. Or Wilt versus, you know, Magic, or
now that's
whatever.
Better. That's better. When you're talking Wilt versus MJ, LeBron, whoever, I think that's a better one. We're still talking about guys with the ball in the hand a whole lot more. Guys that were running the team, Wilt was guy under the bucket, you know. So I think that's different, and you can get into the differences. So,
and I've always wanted to look this up, Trent. Do you know this? I want to look this up because the Bill Russell thing makes me giggle. I've seen footage of him; it's just embarrassing. Do you know, like, what kind of stats Bill Russell had when he went up against Wilt, and what Wilt had when he went up against Bill Russell?
Not offhand, no.
Wouldn't that be fun to look up?
Well, let's do it.
Because I look at Bill Russell, I look at some of that footage, Trent, and it makes me giggle. And I look at, like, 5 years ago in the NBA now, it's like, how would even these centers exist now, Trent? Is this... All right, so we're going to listen back to it in 5 years, or we'll be doing this in 5 years, and I'll be talking to you. Is this going to make another transition back to big basketball? Are there going to be huge centers that are lumbering down the court? Are we going to see that? Are we going to see Shaq? Are we going to see – how are these centers ever going to exist again?
Well, you got to be able to be a guy like Porzingis. You got to be able to guy that can do some different things. Yeah. Now, if there is a physical specimen like Shaq early in his career with the size – and with the athletic ability, yeah, they're still going to find a place for that guy. That guy is still going to be a big part and maybe even become more dominant because there aren't guys that can defend, even the guys that try to defend. So that might be different, that kind of guy. But no, a slow lumbering guy, no. To dominate the game in that sense, you're not going to see guys like that. Here you go for reference. Bill Russell.
Oh, God, I want to hear this.
Against
this
Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh, I love it.
All right, they won. They played 94 games against each other.
Wow.
During those
94?
Games.
94? Are you sure?
94 games against each other, yes.
How is that even possible? Oh, they only had 18 back then, didn't they?
Yeah, something like that.
That might be. Okay.
Russell won 20 more games. He was 57-37. He averaged 14 points, 23 rebounds a game.
23 rebounds. Oh, my Lord.
Wilt averaged 29.9 points, 28.2 rebounds per game.
So we're supposed to think Bill Russell is better because he had better teammates.
That's what they tell us, right? What, titles in 11 years?
Alive, so I don't know, Trent. I wasn't alive. I don't know.
I don't either.
Maybe you can something you can bring up with Jimmy B. I don't know. But I'm like, I think Wilt gets a bad rap. And all of a sudden, Bill Russell is known as the greatest player ever when he's shorter than LeBron. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing when I watch that stuff. I'm like, I don't understand what they mean by best ever, greatest ever, GOAT. I don't understand what that even means.
Well, best champion. How about that? I'd never heard anybody say he's the best player ever, but the best champion because he won 9 titles in 11 years. That's what you hear more than anything.
All right, who would you put on as the logo? Let me ask you that. The logo would mean, who is the best player to ever live?
It's Michael Jordan.
I would agree.
It's Michael Jordan.
So why do we all agree on that right now? I think LeBron has a chance.
It's because of our era. It's because of how old we are. Jimmy
B. No,
it's
not.
Yeah, it is.
That's not true.
It is. It is, because if you talk to a group of younger people, they're going to say LeBron. You talk to older people like Brinson, and he still says Wilt Chamberlain. And Jimmy B's probably watched more NBA basketball than either of us, but he will not come off the Wilt is the best player ever. It's just,
Well, you know why I can throw you? It's not the age thing with me, because I think LeBron is the best ever.
You just said MJ.
Right now, because LeBron's career isn't over, I would put my MJ as the logo. I think LeBron may be the best player ever.
Yeah, I can buy that. I can buy that.
So the age factor goes out there with me. I'm much older than LeBron. And MJ was my era. Mm-hmm. Bird, Magic, all those guys were my era. So that doesn't work with me. You know, a lot of people, I understand what you're saying. It's all about when their era was, or Jimmy B's era, or whoever, your era, mm-hmm. whatever. It's not necessarily that way with me. I just look at and I see how far the game has evolved in 5 years, and it's like, are you kidding me? It's unbelievable, Trent.
And he's evolved with it, and he continues to put out these seasons. It's just the ridiculous nature that year after year after year, he's churning these out, not just his scoring, but what he has to do rebounding, passing the basketball, defensively, on and on and on.
And he has a chance, Trent, to break the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record, and that's not even what he does best.
Yeah.
He's the greatest passer in the history of the league. Left hand, right hand, one hand over here, over there. You watch Magic stuff, that's my era. I loved Magic. Larry was my guy, but I love Magic and learned to love him. If you watch Magic stuff now, compared to LeBron, it's like, you got to go back and watch this, guys. I'm serious, Trent. If you actually go back and watch some of this stuff, you have a different opinion. You're like, wow, oh, they don't play defense now? Oh, actually, they do play defense now. They didn't play transition defense back in the day. It's very interesting when you go back and watch old-time stuff.
I love watching the hardwood classics from the 80s and remembering those games. But you're right, it's different. And guys, you could get an open 18-footer pretty much whenever you wanted. I mean,
and now we all consider that, right? Every article you've written, every like analytics guy says, why even shoot those anymore?
Yeah,
Trent?
Yeah.
It's three dunks or layups, and every mathematician will say that.
Oh, and that's another thing. You know, you bring up some of the great teams. How would the 96 Bulls, how would the 86 Celtics, and bring up every team? Well, they get blown off the floor right now. They would, because they're taking 18-foot jumpers. But if you gave them a month and you had them at their apex playing up against it, you don't think they could evolve? You know, Larry Bird, what was the most threes he averaged in a game? What do you think?
I think he only was like a 36% three-point career shooter.
But I read his book that he co-wrote with Bob Ryan. He said the three-pointer was used almost in a way just to, it was like a dagger. It wasn't something you use very often. It's not like it is today. Most threes he ever made in a season, 1.3. Most he ever shot in a season, just over three. For his career, he shot 37.6%. But if you tell Larry Bird, well, actually, the way the game is played now, you're going to shoot seven a game. Think of how much better of a player, because we know he could have shot it. And
sure, sure, but just looking at them on film? That's what when people say this, I'm like, wait, yeah, sure, they could have evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they had weights and they could have had nutrition and protein shakes and all this stuff, I get that. But I'm looking at them on film as they are. And those guys back in the day couldn't even, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's too difficult to, I don't know, just, yes, the athletic ability is different today. The size, the speed of guys, it is different today.
The shooting. I don't care about that in-between 18-foot game. That
right.
Doesn't matter anymore. So what's interesting, Trent, in 10 years, I want you to, like, in 10 years, where is basketball going to be? So we're going to be, like, looking back at Kenny, oh, remember that. How dumb were we? How stupid were we? Where is this going to go from here? Where is basketball going to go from here? Because right now, the three-point game, I mean, and the guys doing it off the dribble, and you look at Trae Young, who I saw, you look at Curry, even LeBron now is a 40% three-point shooter. It's like, it's ridiculous, because three is more than two. They did the math, they did the science, did all that behind that. It's very interesting. Is this just going to stay this way the whole time? People just shooting bleep off the dribble, and I have a problem with it as an old guy. Some of this stuff, I'm like, come on, that's not a good shot. But I was just bashing Jay Billis last week, right?
You were.
I was
yes.
bashing him, and I got a little bit of Jay Billis in me. I get that, too. I'm like, well, why didn't I just give him credit for that incredible three-point shot he made, and then he just missed it, and I said, boy, he just doesn't understand the game. He has no basketball IQ. You know, I get it, man. But it's just going to be interesting to see where this game goes. Does it just get more and more and more and more three-point shots off the dribble? Just crazy. Where can it go from here? It's already crazy, Trent.
It is. It is. So that's down the line. But before, we got to move on because, you know, I don't know, in 10 years, everybody's going to look like the Greek freak. And
you see him jump over a 6'7 guy?
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, I'll put you on the spot. Do you know how to spell, pronounce Giannis's last name? I still don't.
No, I call him Greek freak.
Antetokounmpo.
I nickname everybody.
Antetokounmpo? Is that close?
That sounds good, yeah.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm going with it.
God bless you.
And tomorrow I'll say it completely different. So tough. All right, you were in Ames, and you were in Ames to watch Trae Young in Oklahoma. You were there with a Sooner fan. Let's start. What was the get-up? I'm going to guess you were wearing one of your goofy hats, right?
What did I wear? Yeah, I did wear a hat. Yep, wore a hat.
Did you have Cardinal and gold on? Did you have Sooner red? What'd you have?
Neutral colors,
okay. No Hawkeye shirt?
Nope, no Hawkeye shirt, nope.
Neutral colors. All right, tell us about it. Tell us about what you saw on Saturday.
Well, see, I've already pissed off all the Michael Jordan fans. I mean, that's a real good way to go to make friends. Pissing off, you know, saying LeBron might be better than Michael Jordan. But I'm going to piss off all the Hawkeye fans, Trent. So I went to the Iowa State game.
Mm-hmm.
And got to sit literally on the court for the second half and two rows up behind the Cyclone bench. And let me tell you something, I'm becoming a seat snob. After watching that, I don't know how I'll ever be able to have, like, regular seats again. You can smell their breath. You can hear everything Chrome is saying. You can see all the stuff they don't have on TV and how they actually respond to each other and who likes each other and who doesn't and who looks the other way and might be rolling their eyes. It's unbelievable. I actually did not like the on-the-court seats as well because you can't, like, lean in front of somebody because then they can't see. So I felt like I only was watching, like, our end of the court. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, it was weird. I know this sounds snobby, but now football is different. Football, I disagree with everybody on football. I love end zone seats. Seeing what the quarterback's seeing when if he's not making the throw in time, if the receivers aren't, you know, Chuck Long, that's what he was a stud at. If he had end zone seats, you saw him, he threw those outs before the receiver was even open or he had even cut. That's what made him so great. So these seats were awesome. And Hawkeye fans, let me tell you something. If you get offered free tickets to Iowa State game, you need to go. You will experience Nirvana.
Basketball Nirvana.
It is, Trent, it's effing unbelievable. It's the crowd. Most colleges have great students, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're on the court and all the students are loud and everything. What makes Hilton so great, and I've read different stuff on this on the internet and message boards and everything. What makes Hilton great is the 30, 40, 50, 60, and 70-year-olds. That's what makes them so great. Boo! They boo everything, man. They freaking boo everything. It was hilarious. We were laughing our bleep off. You know, but we were jealous. Why can't Carver be like this? Why can't Carver be like Kinnick? Kinnick, everybody's on the field. Everybody's into the game. Kinnick has a national reputation as, you don't want to come here. You don't want any part of these fans. You don't want it. Carver, exact opposite. Someone circle, embarrassing. Nobody wants to get up because you'll get yelled at from an old person. You don't want to get in a fight with an old person. Who does? Who wants to? You know, I don't want to stand in front of somebody that has a cane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
My mom has MS, so, like, but my mom wouldn't go to a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There should be certain sections, I would say, for that stuff. But Iowa State's got it going on, and for the Hawkeye fans that are listening, and Trent, I don't know how many times you've been there. It is unbelievable. The crowd is loud as heck. And I'm exaggerating a little bit here. I'm not I'm searching for the right word. My ears were, like, buzzing. It was that loud. Like, after the game, I remember saying to Tiff, I was like, not that I couldn't hear anything, but I was like, my ears are not feeling right. What is this? It was that loud. And everybody's standing up. Everybody's pointing at the ref. And there's some cussing going on. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. They are not politically correct in Ames, Iowa.
Okay.
I don't know if you found that out. They will cuss. And they will go. They don't care if kids are around. So maybe I was got him on that. I really wouldn't want them going, you effing suck in front of my kid.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't really want that. But as a fan with that wants a home court advantage, and now Iowa State's what? They've beaten three of the – they're at last place, Trent. And this is the thing we talked about. Iowa State has a chance. I know it's ridiculous, but Iowa State actually has a chance, and this makes radio more fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State has a chance in the tourney to actually do something.
Well, and here's the thing. Wolfgang, if they beat Kansas tomorrow night and they win their other two home games against TCU and Oklahoma State, which isn't a stretch for how well they have played at home, it is not a huge stretch. They do that and pull another upset on the road, they're on the bubble. They're on the bubble at 8-10 in the Big 12 going to Kansas City with something to play for. Now, they might have to get to the title game. At the very least, get to the semifinals. Wolfgang, this summer, this winter has been terrible, but it's a reality. That can happen.
You're telling me if they win. Okay, I thought I was being Mr. Positive, that you were going to come down on me for saying, look at them, they could beat anybody in this damn league on any given point if they're healthy and mm-hmm. And things are flowing. And you're telling me now what? You have to say that again and slow for the dumb people like me. What did you just say?
All right. I'm going to crunch the numbers for you here while we're on the air right now.
You know I'm not kidding, right?
Yes.
I think you've lost your mind.
They win their remaining home games, starting with Kansas. They still have TCU at home. And they have Oklahoma State. They do that. And pull in a road upset, which is a tall order, because they have not been good at home. Or on the road, excuse me. But let's just say, because the percentages say, the best case scenario to do that is beating Kansas State. Then they lose at West Virginia and lose at Oklahoma. They do that. Okay. They will make their way to Kansas City with an expected RPI of, computer is crunching, 63. That is right on the bubble, Wolfgang. It's still a huge stretch. It is winning tough games, three difficult games at home, and pulling an upset. But they would go to Kansas City with a chance to not have to win the whole thing, but a chance to go down there and play themselves into the NCAA tournament. Wolfgang, get the bus started. Let's go to Kansas City.
Dude, that just pumped me up.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I haven't read this from Iowa State people. They're not even this, like, hunky-dory on the rest of the season.
Look. I give it a percentage chance of them going here down this stretch 4-2.
Is it going to happen? No, you just painted a nice picture of what needs to happen mm-hmm. in order for them to have a chance.
It's a possibility.
I guess after further review, you're not being crazy. I haven't even read that on any of the Cyclone websites, man. You want something to talk about, don't you?
Tell me about it. 4 hours a day. Our time is done. Wolfgang, always great catching up with you. It was a fun conversation because we didn't have to talk about those god-awful Hawkeyes.
Oh, man. And I had something fierce. Read Rob Howe's article, people. We'll do that next time, Trent. Howe's article on how you basically become every single player needs to get better. So, yeah.
Awesome. Hey, appreciate your time.
All right, thanks, Trent. See you,
bye. There's Wolfgang checking in. Hawkeye Nation Instant Reaction Podcast. And he joins us here on the program today. Good stuff, as always, from Wolfgang. Cyclone fans, it can happen. I don't think it's a great chance, but something to play for. Maybe I'm just rooting to root because, like Wolfgang said, we need something to talk about. Starts tomorrow with Kansas, with the Jayhawks. Really looking forward to that game. We'll take a break. We got more to come here. Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG.
And welcome back, everybody. We go all the way till 6 o'clock tonight right here on the Big Talker 1700. Look, everybody now starting to realize we're getting closer to March. And what does that mean? Of course, it's March Madness. Chris Dobertine joining us right now, blogging the bracket SB Nation. Chris, good afternoon to you. And I'll start first with what took place over the weekend. With so many of the top teams getting beat, where does that leave you right now, or does it change anything from your the way that you look at your brackets?
Yeah, when you get a weekend like that, you kind of just have to think, yeah, this is just kind of leave things as they are, just kind of treat this as kind of an anomaly. You get weekends like that in college basketball every so often. But to me, I think it really speaks of to kind of what we have to look forward to in a month's time, because I think that the fact that it seems like anybody can beat anybody else, I think we're going to have a pretty wild tournament once March rolls around.
It is. So yesterday we get the top 16 from the selection committee. What did we learn from that? You know, a lot of people, I know we're talking about Oklahoma being included. At least to me, it felt like maybe wins are more important to this. And the other part, I guess we should ask is, what does this really mean? Because you got to guess they didn't go through this like they will when they get to the actual selection of 68. It's not combed through it in the same fashion here. Do you take a lot away? Do you take a bit away? What did you learn yesterday?
Well, I did take a fair amount of weight from it because of the results from last year. Last year we did this, and 15 of those 16 teams ended up on the top four seed lines.
Mm.
So it's pretty close. It'll probably end up being pretty close. The one thing that I'm kind of taking away from after kind of really looking at it is I'm not sure, with all this talk of them incorporating more advanced analytics, that that's actually being done. And you brought up Oklahoma, and that's kind of what I'm looking at. The super average, which is the metric that is all three of the predictive metrics and all three of the results metrics, like the RPI, that average doesn't call the super average. The top 14 of those teams ended up in that top 16 group. The two teams that were the exception were Oklahoma and Arizona. And looking more closely at it, Gonzaga is 15th in the super average. So I'm thinking, why? What's going on here? Gonzaga has a very similar quality win total to Oklahoma. They have 5, Oklahoma has 6. And what it looked like to me is they're leaning more on the RPI still, because Gonzaga is a top 10 team across KenPom, Sagarin, BPI, all those predictive analytics love Gonzaga. The RPI has them 36. Oklahoma, it's the flip side. Oklahoma is still relatively good in the RPI, but they're in the 30s in all those predictive metrics. So really, it seems to me that they are really still hanging on the RPI more than anything else.
All right, let's stay with Gonzaga. They went to St. Mary's and just pounded them. A lot of people, like what you just mentioned, now believe, is Gonzaga, at least in your mind, getting back to maybe that Elite Eight or even a Final Four status yet?
Yeah, I think they're going to be in position where they're going to probably be at worst a 5 seed. I think that maybe they can probably sneak up and get up on that 4 line. I don't think they'll get any higher than that, because I think the committee has made that pretty clear. But, boy, I would not want to be a 1 seed, because you think about kind of, to me it looks like Purdue looks pretty shaky as a 1 seed. I think that some of those teams that are kind of on that 2 line that could jump up there, Kansas, Duke in particular, Auburn, because they don't have the quality wins those other two teams have. I think there's a real situation there with whatever happens, if somebody like that gets up on the 1 seed, ends up getting the 1 seed out west, Gonzaga probably gets the 4 seed out west. That's a very dangerous Sweet 16 matchup for whatever team that is. And, yeah, Gonzaga is one of those teams that looks like they're rounding into form at the right possible moment, and they could be right there in San Antonio this year.
All right, the Oklahoma. We got to see them play in our state against Iowa State. They come in struggling. I know it's the totality of the bracket. It's not just what happened lately. There is no last 10 or last 12 games like there was at one time with the selection committee. But what did the Sooners be included in the top 16 say to you?
Well, I think that they are really kind of just looking more at that body of work, and they played a decent non-conference schedule that really kind of gave them that nice little push to kind of get them in shape. But I'm kind of looking at their advanced metrics, and again, that's what I'm worried about. They're not, you know, they're not playing well on defense. They're very average on that front. offensively, they seem to really be able to just key in on Trae Young at this point, and they really haven't found another kind of answer for that. So I'm really kind of wondering what the committee is kind of doing, thinking there, you know, just kind of really kind of leaning on what they did early on in the season and not kind of looking and saying, you know, this might be a situation where we kind of have to factor in that poor late performance kind of into our seating.
We're having a good conversation right now with Chris Dobertine, blogging the bracket for SB Nation on the Big Talker 1700. All right, so we had all these upsets that took place, and the teams that pulled off the upset, other than Iowa State beating Oklahoma, what about Virginia Tech? What about Baylor? Have they played their way maybe with that win over Kansas? Have they kind of maybe played their way back into getting a good look? Where are you now on some of those teams that won by knocking off top teams?
I think Virginia Tech is in pretty good position now. I mean, they're 4-5 against the top, that group one group. You know, they're 8-6 against the top two groups. I think they've gotten themselves in position. You can't do any better than beating the number one RPI team on their home floor in a situation where the RPI is kind of the be-all, end-all. I think Virginia Tech has really put themselves up well. Baylor's not there yet because they're only 2-8 against the top group, but, and this is something I'm going to be focusing on in tomorrow's post, they're in great position to get there because we're at the point now where teams have somewhere between 4-6 games left, depending on the conference. Baylor has 6 left. 5 of those games are possible Group 1 top-tier wins. So Baylor is in great position to really get themselves back into the field over the last 3 weeks.
Over-under number of times you say quadrant over the last next month here, Chris.
I really, really wish there was a better way to explain that because I need to work in an elevator speech to explain these wind things because it's not clear at all anymore.
Yeah, it's a lot more different than they have this. They're this and this against the top 50. Makes it a little bit more difficult. Last thing for me on Nebraska, our neighbors to the west. They keep winning games in the Big Ten. The problem is they aren't beating anybody of consequence. They finish up 3 out of 4 at home. Maryland, Indiana, Penn State, and a road game with Illinois in there as well. They don't have a win against that quadrant one, if you will. They're 0-6 against group number one. Does Nebraska really have to get to 14-4 in the Big Ten and then do work in the Big Ten tournament to feel good?
They're going to have to do serious work in the Big Ten tournament because, you know, the games they have left, they have one quality win opportunity, and that's against a quadrant two team at home. They only get a quadrant one shot. That's better than Purdue. Purdue has nothing left. If Purdue loses, this is why I'm saying they're kind of in a real dangerous spot in that one seed because they don't have any quality win opportunities, one or two group of those varieties left. They're done. So Nebraska really is going to have to do serious work and get a really good draw in the Big Ten tournament to have any real shot because their RPI might be good enough. They might end up in the top 50, but they're just not going to have the quality wins to show for it. And their non-conference schedule is around 265, 270, which isn't going to help either.
Interesting. That just goes all the way back to playing a couple of good teams in your non-conference schedule. Is that right?
Yep. Because everything else, that's all you need. At this stage of the game, having a couple good non-conference opponents will really go such a long way to just getting your computer numbers in a great position for March.
Oh, Chris Dobertine, I love this time of year. I love talking brackets with you. Thanks, as always, for your time. We'll do it again soon, all right?
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Chris Dobertine, you can find him on Twitter at that name. Blogging the Bracket, a great website, and he'll have his Tuesday update out tomorrow over at SB Nation. What other, Jimmy B? Did you see over the weekend St. John's got another win against Marquette? They're 12-13 now, but they have that win against Duke, the road win against Villanova. That's what you got to wonder. If they would, all right, they have, let's see, 5 remaining games in the Big East. If they go 4-1, yes, they'd still be 6-12 in the Big East. But maybe, just maybe, with some work in the – I mean, we're talking about a team in last place. That's the kind of season we're having this year, Jimmy B. We're talking about a last-place team in the Big East, and maybe they can play themselves in. What a fun season this is.
It has been. With no dominant team, I mean astronomically good dominant team. It's going to be open warfare when it begins, because you could have anybody get beat on any given day, and it really wouldn't be that big of a surprise. I mean, look, we talked about what St. John's has accomplished here. All of a sudden, Chris Mullen, the head coach at St. John's, has been pushing the right buttons, and his team has responded. Trent, what if they make a run? Make a run in the Big East tournament and get to the championship game. Now what? Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I'm rooting for it. I love Chris Mullen, and I hope it happens. We will see. We'll take a break, come back, put a cap on things. Big Monday tonight. What else we're watching? We'll do it next on Jimmy B and TC. Back one final time, Jimmy B and TC. It's Big Monday tonight. Not a real big one, though, Brinson. These games, a couple of Big 12 games. Yeah, just not a great night of sports. So, what, you're going to be watching the ice dancing again?
Well, I'm going to peek in on the Olympics, absolutely, because I love the Winter Games. I really do, especially then when they get into hockey. That's really fun. But Notre Dame, North Carolina, look, Notre Dame losing Bonzi Colson just blew away their season. I mean, they're still somewhat competitive, but not being a top team like everybody thought they were going to be. So I like Carolina in that game. It might be fun to watch TCU and West Virginia. West Virginia's been kind of on the skids here, Trent, and TCU needs one. They really do. So it'll be interesting to see how TCU does. I just can't believe that West Virginia lost to Oklahoma State. So,
well, it was right after it looked like they turned it around. You know, they beat Kansas State handily.
Yeah.
They beat Oklahoma on the road last Monday, and all right. They got it figured out, and then they lose at home at Okie State. It's the depth of the Big 12 shining through once again. Olympics tonight, little basketball, and we'll be back tomorrow previewing a monster matchup. Iowa State, hey, I've been trying to lay out the scenario for them to get back, to have a chance to be on the bubble. It all starts tomorrow with Kansas, Jimmy B. So we'll have plenty on that tomorrow.
I'm with you, and it'll be a fun setup for that particular game. Hans Brace is out. It looks like Wyler Babb is a possibility, but we'll see how many minutes he will get. I'm sure a lot of it depends on how well he does in practice. But right now, do you really tinker with that lineup after what we just saw that lineup do against Oklahoma?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Yeah, but shut it down. I don't know about that, but if he's available, you keep him on the bench. It's a difficult spot for Prohm. It really is, and tinkering with what has worked, and it's worked well, very well at home in those victories. Jimmy B, you have a good night, all right?
Thanks, pal. I know we got to get out of here. We'll see everybody tomorrow, bright and early at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Jimmy B and TC, the Big Talker, 1700.